Okay, let me give you some perspective, okay, on a decade. The last time we moved into a decade was obviously 2009. In 2009, my wife and I had a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. And then in about a month, we'll make a new one, right? If I get the trajectory right. Okay, yes. Hannah was born 2010, November. Some of you guys are a little slow right now. I know it's late. This decade, I moved into my 50s. When the next decade is done, I'll be into my 60s. Oh, jeez. Right? Check this out. By the next time we have another New Year's decade service, I will have 2 daughters that have graduated university. I'll have 1 daughter in university and 1 son about to finish high school. So just think about where you were 10 years ago. I'll just give you a moment. Think about that right now, right? Some of your kids were just a figment of your imagination, and now they're here. Think about, just spend a moment. Think about what happened the last 10 years. Just spend a moment. Think about the kids that you had, your graduations. Think about your wedding that you had then. Like, Pastor Nate, like, everything in your life happened in the last 10 years. Basically. Everything worth something, right? No, that's not a diss. He got married. He got his master's degree from Fuller, and he's got 2 kids. That's better than anything you've ever done in your life, right? That happened in the last 10 years. I mean, just think about this. This is huge. And when I was just sitting down, when I was just meditating on this, I was just so blown away just thinking what the next 10 years is going to be. I mean, really, there's a slight chance that I may be walking down the aisle within 10 years, right? Elise will be 24, right? Chance. You never know. I know it's a little year early, but chance. I mean, it's crazy when you think about this. And here we are. We get to embark on another decade with the Lord. And I can't tell you, obviously I knew this service was happening and all this stuff and thinking about the whole decade. And I've just been thanking God so much. I mean, so much. For personally, you know, for my health and all those things, and then for my family, my wife, my children, and then obviously my church family. And such an incredible blessing. This past weekend, I was in Beijing and speaking at their service, and just incredible, incredible time with God, and just so thankful to the Lord. And I hope that as you are embarking on this new year, that gratitude, or this new decade, that gratitude has been really, really filling your hearts during this time. It's so important that we enter into this decade with the right attitude, with the right heart, with the right momentum. Amen? As we move in. Okay, 1 person. Amen. Thank you, my wife. I heard that from my wife. I'm so thankful for you. No, really. You know, I would say, you know, people say like different kinds of things about marriage and relationships and stuff. And when I was younger, and I would hear my friends talking about their marriages, you know, and they would say things like, "Oh, I love my wife, you know, today, you know, so much more than I loved her when we got married." And I just thought they just said that because their wives were present, you know, so they were trying to get brownie points and things like that. I want you to know, man, I love my wife today so much more than I loved her when we got married. And because I know her more, right, and she knows me more, and we went through a lot of stuff together, and it's such a blessing. If some of you guys are here and you're thinking about getting married, do it, right? Just do it. Forget about you got enough money. It doesn't take much money to get married, okay? You know, don't get that Asian mentality all stuck in. Just do it. I mean, hear from God and then do it, okay? Very important. Now, we also know that this time of the year is a time that we make resolutions. You know, New Year's resolutions. And I don't know if you've done that. If you have, just stop doing that. Just stop it. Just don't do that anymore. But if you really, really want to do it, I'm going to give you, here's some resolutions that you actually can keep. You can really keep this. You ready for this? Number one, gain weight. At least 20 pounds. You can do this really easily, okay? You can do it really easily. Number two, here's one you can really do. Stop exercising. Right? It's a waste of time. Just stop doing it. Number three, read less. Right? It makes you think too much. Just read less. That's all you got to do. Number four, watch more TV, especially Netflix. Right? You've been missing a lot of good stuff these days, so just keep watching more TV. Number five, procrastinate more. Starting tomorrow. Okay. Some of you guys caught that. It's all right. Number six, get more toys. Just buy more stuff. You may not even need it. It's okay. Just keep buying it. It doesn't matter. Help the economy along. Seven, stop bringing lunch from home. You should eat out more. Make sure you do that as often as you can. Number eight, get further into debt. Just keep spending money. It's okay. And the last one, focus on the faults of others. Forget about thinking about yourself. Just focus on other people's faults. That's all you can do. All right. You know, I was just joking, okay? Please don't take these seriously. I know one of you knuckleheads is going to take it seriously. Well, Pastor Sam told me to do this. And so let's just cut out the resolutions this year. It's a fresh slate. It's a fresh slate into the year. It's a fresh slate into this new decade. And, you know, as I get older, I've been thinking a lot about my life, probably more so than I have before. Did you know, according to some studies, did you know what's considered to be the age of greatest happiness? Statistically, and through all these studies and these surveys, they came up with this age group for men and women where they consider to be the age of greatest happiness. And you think about, was it your childhood? Was it your 20s? Actually, study after study have shown it's your old age. It's when you get older. Hallelujah. Everyone over 50, say, wave your hand, yo. Oh, there's only like four of us in this room. Because the other old people are in bed right now. In 1998, a Fordham University survey confirms findings first reported by Gail Sheehy, and she's the author of a book called Pathfinders. And both show that men generally are happiest in their middle 60s, and women during their 70s. Isn't that crazy? Men, middle 60s, and women in their 70s. You know the unhappiest time for people? Wow, this is crazy. It's the early 50s for men. That's where I'm at right now. And it's the late 40s for women. It's close to where my wife's at. Soon. Soon. Not now. Soon. Very, very, very interesting. I'm not going to talk about it tonight because this is New Year's. We're going to deal with this later on. But our theme for 2020, if you haven't heard yet, is called Our God is a God of Order. And I believe that in 2020, God is going to continue to bring order into our house. Order in our families, order in our personal lives, order in our finances, order in the life of our church. And there's just going to be, in a certain way, kind of an alignment coming together. And the reality is I really sense that some of you guys, your lives have been in a little bit of disorder. And you've kind of been all over the place. And this year, I really feel like God's going to just bring some alignment together. Because our God is not a God of confusion, but He's a God of order. And so we're going to continue on in that theme. And so today, you know, we usually give a gift during New Year. Chinese New Year is actually coming right up the alley, and so because you came to church today, and it's only available in this service, and so we made these folders for you, And if you look up on the screen, we have three awesome artists, Nikki, Constance, and Whitney. And these are, if you know, like those vinyl, plastic, what are they? What are those? Folders. Oh, folders. Okay, yeah, folders. And so, and they have a an SP design on them, and it's this idea of a God of order. We asked some of our artists to do it. And so you'll go home with a bunch of these today after the service, okay? So make sure just only one per person, you know, or one set per person, and you can take it home. And so you can organize all your bills and, you know, papers and things like that. And it's just kind of our gift for you to just remind yourself throughout the year that this year is that God is a God of order. And we see this happening here. Now, I was looking at the Facebook post, right? Facebook post, sorry, of our service tonight, and it said on there, it says, "Please come to hear P. Sam give a word for the decade." I heard that, I was like, "What the heck?" It's like, that's a lot of pressure, man. You know, so I asked my wife, I said, "Did you see the Facebook post? It said that I'm going to give a word for the decade." I said, "Where did they get that idea from?" My wife says, "From you. You know, you said it during morning prayer." And I realized I did say that. So this is the word for the decade, okay? No, I'm just kidding. I had something in mind. 2020, I was calling Juanita, you know, Merry Christmas. You know, Juanita, our intercessor, I was talking with her. How's it going? We had a long talk. And she was just telling me, I said, "Hey, you know, is there anything special planned?" You know, like I always ask people, anything special, God has anything specially planned for us in the next year? And I usually try to talk to prophetic people and, you know, and talk to people that really pray because, you know, they probably hear from God a little better. And so, and she mentioned something about 2020. And when she was telling me, I couldn't really understand everything that she was saying. And so, but something in my heart was just gripped. And I just went, "I need to go back. I need to research this." And because she was saying that 2020 or the word 20 in Hebrew is a word for palm, but also a palm, like a palm leaf in this way. And so, I went online. I was looking around. I couldn't find anything on this topic. I mean, I was searching all different kinds of periodicals, nothing. And so I went to the next best source. I texted Matthew Pine. And so, you know, Matthew knows Hebrew. And so I said, "Matthew, what does 20 mean?" You know, and the whole thing. And he gave me this whole explanation. And then finally, I was able to find something for this. And so this is the word 20, and then if you want more, you should go talk to Matthew after service, right? Because he's actually got a lot more insight than I want to share with you today. But 20 is the word calf. So you say calf. It's a kind of interesting word. It means the palm of the hand, but it also means a palm tree. And so it's the same kind of idea. Now, the Hebrew word, which is used, it's used in a variety of senses. It's translated as hand. It's also translated as paw, like an animal paw. And it's usually translated as hand in the English versions of the Bible. But the translation palm is found in five passages in the Old Testament, and three of which of the Hebrew adds the word yad, or hand, in this way. And it... The idea is it probably means a hollow hand. You know, it means from the root kafaf, which actually means to bend or to curve. And so if you have this idea, what it means is it's not just a palm, but it's the curved palm. Just think of something like you're about to receive something, right? So it's the curvature of the palm. That's really what this idea is saying, particularly in these passages. 1 Samuel 5, 4, 2 Kings 9, 35, Daniel 10, 10. You don't have to worry about taking notes. The notes will be online, okay? So you can just download them quite easily. And it's like it says, it probably means the hollow hand, which receives or grasps things. And so you think about this palm, it's there and it's ready to receive something. Right, that's 20, or how it's laid out. Now, it's therefore used in reference to filling the priest's hands with sacrificial portions. And so the priests, they gave their palm and the calf, and they're about to receive something that related to the sacrifice. That's how it's laid out. It's really a beautiful metaphor that God answers the repentant people of Jerusalem who thought Yahweh had forgotten and forsaken them. And so in Isaiah 49:16, he says, "Behold, I have inscribed you in the palms of my hands." Right? The Israelites thought that God had forgotten them, and he reminds them, "They're still in my palms. I've inscribed, your names are written right there." Now, Daniel, if you see in Daniel 10:10, is touched upon the palms of his hands to wake him from his sleep. And so there's something quite significant about this. Now, the key concept, the other translation is the palm tree, is this idea. In English, this idea of palm, we have similar words with the same root, the calf. Think of cap, you know, what you wear, a cup, more like the cup of your hand, copula, which is the top, or it's the Italian word for actually cap, but it means the top of things, and the capital, like if you go to the U.S. Capitol, it's a dome, but it's this idea of calf. It's a covering that comes over. And so basically the idea is that something that covers us, like your hat, your cap, covers you, like the copula sits on top of a building, which covers the top of the building. That's what covers us. And even though the palm tree was the same idea, palm, is translated as tamar, and it's not necessarily related to calf, it's called a palm tree because of the curvy fronds of the leaves, which are related to the calf. It's the curvature. In the same way, this idea, the Hebrew words, for which covers the ark and the mercy seat, the ark of the covenant, and both of these have roots related to calf. Meaning basically means that God covers us. And even more powerful, this is actually, I just learned this just before I walked into service. I was having a conversation with Matthew, and if you add the R to this, which is very commonly used, it becomes even more powerful. It's not only the idea of something covers us, but it now deals with the issue of atonement. And so, you know, the most holy day of the Jewish calendar is what? It's Yom Kippur, cap with the R. And so we see those together, and it's this idea that he covers us. It's the atonement. And so that's what atonement means. God covers our sins. He covers our nakedness. He covers our frailties, our diseases, and he atones for our sins by covering us. And so you see 2020, and I know this is the our Gregorian calendar. This is not necessarily the Jewish calendar. That's a whole other thing. But I, you know, as Juanita was saying, and what I just really sense in my spirit, that this coming decade is really the decade of double portion of God's blessing, of God's covering over us. I mean, this is pretty cool. And so I believe in the next 10 years, there's going to be increase of covering. And so, you know, I was thinking about, well, what does this mean? You know, this is what I think it means. If you're thinking about doing something really crazy for God, do it. I'm serious. In this next decade, like God's giving you some kind of dream or some kind of vision, there's double anointing, there's double portion, and there's double covering. It's 2020. It's calf, you know, two times. And so I think this is a real season for the church, for a lot of us to really step out in faith, to really encounter God in a very deep, profound way, because there's a special covering, there's a special anointing and a double portion that's coming out before us. And so, I mean, I really mean this. If God's put something in your heart, and maybe you've been sitting on this for a little bit, and you're trying to figure out, should I do this? Should I not do this? Go for it. This is the decade of launching, right? This is a decade of new things. This is a decade where we can really step out in faith. And of course, you got to hear from God, okay? You know, don't move in presumption, but get a word from the Lord. And my sense is that for some of you, it's already inside of you. And you may have been wrestling with it a little bit here and there, and I just feel like the Lord is saying, go for it. This is a decade to really expand your wings and stretch out a bit and go and do the things that maybe you are reluctant to do or holding on to a little bit. It's the decade of double portion. 2020 is the 20s, I should say, is the decade of God's double covering and blessing. It's double portion. So turn to your neighbor, say, hey, good looking, right? This is double portion decade. Go ahead. I think so many new things are going to be launched. For some of you, I believe it's a restoration of old things. There are certain promises, certain callings, certain things that you told God you would do in the last decade. And God's not forgotten about it, and you haven't forgotten about it either. The only thing is God is waiting in anticipation, and you're just in guilt and denial and shame, right? And God wants to flip that script around because it's a double covering. It's a double blessing, a double portion for this decade in the 20s, 2020. I think that's pretty cool. All right. That has nothing to do with my message, okay? So turn to Matthew 16. Well, it has something to do with the message. But this is a message, okay? Matthew 16, we're going to read verse 1 through 3. The title of my message today is Anticipation. Say anticipation. Anticipation. If you need a Bible, raise your hand, and one of our ushers make sure you get one. In Matthew 16, 1 through 3, it says, and the Pharisees and Sadducees came up, testing him, asked him to show them a sign from heaven. But he answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, there will be a storm today, for the sky is red and threatening. Do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. God, we thank you for 2020. God, we thank you for 2019. In this last decade, and so many amazing things have happened, God. And you're the God who's able to do much more exceedingly abundantly, God. And so we ask, Lord, as you lead us into this new decade, Lord, that we would go with favor, with blessing, with the covering of God, the hand of God, the palm of God, Lord, cupping us and putting a cap over us, God. And so we just thank you for that, Lord. And now we come humbly to your word, and we ask you to speak to us through it, God. To that end, we ask you to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us, individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just convey your words, God, but to convey your heart. We thank you, God. We love you in this house, Lord. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. 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 At every new year, and you see this, if you look at most periodicals, most magazines that are out, you know, they're recapping their predictions from the year before, and then they're making predictions of the next year, you know, which stock is going to do great, you know, which company is going to exceed expectations, which banks are going to fail, you know, I mean, so on and so forth. All these things are laid out. And experts every new year during this time try to determine what's going to happen in the forthcoming months. Politically, economically, and socially. If you read, maybe not so much newsy magazines, but you read like fashion magazines or tabloids or something like that, you know, then there's some usually articles about some astrologers, some psychics, and they predict the future for the new year. Now, Christians, we obviously know the future is not in the stars, it's not in the zodiac or in the subconscious minds of the psychics and these things. But even the brightest and best minds cannot predict what 2020 will hold for us. I should say humanly speaking, that is. But spiritually speaking, you know, we should be wise to our immediate future. We should have an ear to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. In Matthew 16, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees and Sadducees for not discerning the times in which they live. You know, they were better at weather prediction than they were at Bible study. They didn't realize that the King of Glory was standing right in front of them. Likewise, many Christians today live in ignorance of God's mighty workings at hand. Now, so I ask the question, my message is called Anticipation. So today, what are some things that we can anticipate God doing in 2020 and even in this new decade? Are there any clear-cut answers in scriptures? And, you know, and where will we be this time of year again? And so I have four simple points. This is what I believe God's going to do this next year for the people of God. Ready? Number one, we should anticipate God's grace. We should anticipate God's grace. He will save. He will save. You know, unfortunately, a lot of Christians, we think for some reason that God's kind of gone out of business, that he's kind of packed up and he's not really in the business of saving people anymore. We're so discouraged. We've been trying to witness the people left and right, and not many people are coming to the Lord. I want you to know, anticipate God's grace. He will save. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, "It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all." 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." This is God's heart. God's heart, he wants to save people. In 2020, anticipate God's grace. If you're ministering to people, you're witnessing to your non-Christian friends and family members, keep going at it. Anticipate God's grace. He will save. That's what he does. That's what he does better than anybody else. You know, you think about this. We have not passed unknowingly into this new dispensation when God has ceased to save people by grace through faith. He's still convicting, he's still drawing, and he is still saving people. It's so important for us to recognize this. And so as we move into this new decade, this new year, be encouraged. God still saves. He still touches people. He still honors our prayers when we pray for the lost, when we come before him in this way. In the parable of the Great Supper, the servant reported back to his Lord. It says, "Lord, it is done as you have commanded." And it says, "And yet there is room." Now, the negative thinking Christian can think of 100 reasons why few people are being saved today. But God would have us anticipate his grace in 2020. There is yet room in the house of God. There is still a lot of room in the house of God. There is yet room in this family of God. There is yet room at the foot of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2020, anticipate his grace. He will save. So let's take a moment right now. Let's just take a moment. Close your eyes. Who are you witnessing to these days? Who is on your heart? Because they're on God's heart. And just right now, just lift them by name as we close out this year, this decade. And when you lift their name up, just say, "Lord, I anticipate your grace. You will save." Go ahead, I'll give you a moment. Go ahead. Amen. Well, let's keep praying. Well, anticipate God's grace. He will save. Number two, anticipate God's goodness. Well, He will bless. In John 11, remember the story, Lazarus was really sick. And Mary and Martha, in verse 3, sends for Jesus. They knew the nature of Christ. They were friends, very good friends. They knew that He loved Lazarus and He loved Mary and Martha, and that Jesus wanted the best for him. And so we tend to focus on Martha's unbelief, but she says something really interesting there as when she confronts Christ. And this is her great statement. She says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." I know we spend a lot of time talking about her unbelief, but that actually was a statement of belief. She anticipated God's goodness. She knew that if Jesus showed up, a blessing would come upon her brother. He would be healed in some way. Her faith just limited her beyond just into this life, and then she never thought that he would be raised from the dead. And so faith was limited, but yet still the faith was there. She anticipated the goodness of God. She anticipated a blessing from the Lord. Certainly, this passage teaches us that God is in control even when we may not understand His purposes in the fact that He waits a few days later on before He comes, but yet He's doing something. In that same way, we should anticipate the spiritual blessings that God promises to us in the Scriptures. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Romans chapter 8, 31 and 32 says this, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things?" This is the heart of God. God wants to bless His people. It's just a simple reality. Luke tells us, we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children. How much more will the Father give the gift of the Spirit to those who ask? It's amazing. You know, when I was younger, thinking about Christmas, I was a really, really bad gift giver. Honestly, I was really bad because I gave gifts not according to what they needed or wanted. I gave gifts according to what I wanted and what I needed. And so one Christmas, because, you know, when I was younger, my parents would give us money, all the kids money, and then we'd go out and we'd buy Christmas gifts for our siblings and our parents. And so one year, I went out and I bought my sister a popcorn machine. My sister don't even like popcorn, but I like popcorn. And so I became really, really skilled in buying gifts for my siblings, but gifts that I wanted, and eventually that I would be the only one using. I bought my brother a basketball. He don't even play basketball, but I wanted a basketball. And so, but now that as a father, I would say I've changed some. And, you know, honestly, that was like when I was like 10, okay? And so we've matured, and now, man, I give good gifts to my kids. I just can't give them a bad gift. You know, it's just not in me as a father. And he says that we being evil, that's me, that's us, and we know how to give good gifts, how much more? Remember, that was a rabbinical teaching. How much more will the Heavenly Father give to His children that ask? God wants to bless His people. That's always been His heart. Now, when we talk about blessing, I believe there's two unbiblical views on blessing in the church. And I'll talk about this real quick, okay? One of these unbiblical views is one sees this, and this is kind of, if you think about this, this would be more of like the like the faith movement or the prosperity gospel or prosperity theology. And they think of blessing in that way, and so that think of that as like a giant vending machine, and so for a lot of people, you know, God is a giant vending machine that dispensing bank accounts and BMWs and all kinds of things. In other words, if you want blessing, just put something in the vending machine. You know, just put, and they'll say things like seed, just put a little seed money, just put the money in there, and then God will bless you with all these material things. Well, part of that is kind of true. You know, like, in order, like, the way God's economy works is you give, you know, and he says, give, and it will be given to you, pressed down, you know, spilling over, running on your lap. And so there is that idea, but it's not just always in material blessings. And unfortunately, that idea of blessing is kind of like, well, you put this money in, and this money is going to come out for you. And I don't think that's very biblical. In other words, the more you give, the more you get. You know, and the more money you want, the more money you put into it, especially into their ministries. That's basically how these things go. But there's another side to this. There's another, I think, very unbiblical view of blessing. And the other part of this spectrum is that the idea of blessings are the natural result of hard work. In this view, the more diligently I apply myself, the better that I'll do, the more favor that I'll earn from God. This is very attractive to high achievers, but very much at odds with the Bible. Even think about this, even when we're about to embark on the fast, I know you're already thinking, right, you got one more day to eat. It's okay, I'm planning our menu out very carefully with my wife. And you think about this, and there's a part of this thinking, if the harder I fast, the more blessing will come out of it. Or the more difficult my fast is, the greater blessing that's going to come out of it. Dude, this is a works mentality, right? This is not biblical either. And we got to be, and I think for most of us, we won't be trapped by the first unbiblical idea, because we're not a Word of Faith church, we're not a prosperity church or a prosperity theology, even though we do believe in prosperity and those kinds of things, but you know, under that heading, that's not who we are. But I think a lot of us will get trapped into the second one. You know, if I pray harder, if I do more, if I'm involved in more ministries, if I serve, you know, more diligently. And listen, you do all those things, it's going to be a blessing to you. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the reciprocal blessing is going to come our way in this way. I mean, it may, but that's not how God operates. That's not what he does. I mean, in Book of Revelation 21:6, and then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the springs of water of life without cost." See, God always freely gives. He always freely gives. And really, all that we have to bring to the table is a thirst. That's all. You know, don't get me wrong. Works, nothing wrong with it. Works are okay, right? It's good, but you don't depend on those works to receive the blessing of God. It's given freely to people that simply ask and are thirsty for it. That's how it operates. So, 2020, anticipate God's goodness. He will bless. He will bless you. I want to say this, and I want you to close your eyes. I want you to really hear this in your spirit. God is for you. God is not against you. I feel like some of us have been walking around this last decade because some things kind of haven't worked out like the way you thought it would. And there's this lie buried deep inside that says, "God, you must be against me for something. Something I did 13 years ago, or you know, something, this thought that keeps coming to me." I want you to know God is for you. He's not against you. God's heart is to bless you. When you're blessed, He's blessed. For some of you that really need to hear that, just let that sink in. Holy Spirit, do your work. Let those words just demolish the lies. Let it tear down the lofty things raised up against the knowledge of God. Amen. Number three, what can we look forward to in 2020? Anticipate God's guidance. He will lead. You know, so many people today don't know what to do or where to turn. Christians too. They seem to have trouble finding their way and having discernment. You know, we talked about discernment earlier this year. But for the believer, this should not be true. The believer has the one who leads us all the time. Psalm 23, 2 and 3. He makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Psalm 48, 14. For such is God, our God, forever and ever. He will guide us until death. John 16, 13. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. That's what He promises to do. He promises to lead us. Remember, at the end of the day, whenever I get stuck in something, honestly, this is what I tell myself. I said, Sam, just relax. You're just dumb sheep. That's all I said. You're just a dumb sheep. You have a great shepherd, and He's going to lead us, and He's going to feed us. And I find myself saying that to me. I said, Sam, don't worry. You're just dumb sheep. The great shepherd is going to lead you, and He's going to feed you. He's going to take care of it. Just follow. Don't try to make your own way. Just be that dumb sheep and follow. That's all we have to do. Anticipate God's guidance. He will lead us. He will. That's what He promises us. He'll lead us, and He won't lead us into difficulty. Well, sometimes He will, but it'd be a great blessing. He'll lead us, and He'll make us lie down in green pastures. He'll lead me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. If you're wondering what to do this year, you're figuring out direction, anticipate God's guidance. Anticipate His guidance. A lot of question marks out there: work, family, school, relationships, finances, investments, you know, all kinds of different things, location, vocation. Anticipate His guidance. He will lead us. Just remember that whenever you get in that moment of confusion and distrust and all these things are happening, just do what I do. Just say, man, I'm just dumb sheep. I'm just dumb sheep, Lord. You're my shepherd. You're going to lead me and You're going to feed me. And I just need to follow. That's what He does. He led Moses to the backside of the desert, and then took him out to confront the Pharaoh and save a people for Himself. He led Joshua, He led Gideon, Samuel, David, Daniel, Paul, Peter. I mean, it goes on. And He will lead us as well. Amen? Let's close your eyes again. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Are you trying to find some direction? Are there some big pressing decisions on your heart this year? Just give it to the Lord. Anticipate God's guidance. He will lead you. to say I'm just dumb sheep. Lord, you're my shepherd. You're going to lead me. You're going to feed me. I just need to follow. The last one, number four, you can open your eyes. Last one, number four, anticipate God's genius. He will speak. He will speak. Young Samuel heard the voice of God in the house of Eli the priest, but was not anticipating it. He missed the voice and thought it came from Eli. Eli, aware that God was speaking to him, and afterward he said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant is listening." This is where our heart needs to be as we launch into this year. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. God will continue to speak to us in 2020. He speaks to us through the preaching of his word, if we have ears to hear. He speaks through personal Bible study. If we enter into it seeking his voice, he speaks to us primarily through that still, small voice in our hearts. He speaks to us through brothers and sisters in the body, through the church. He speaks to us when we pray to him. He's always speaking to us. Remember in Deuteronomy, when Jesus is quoting the book of Deuteronomy, when he's confronted in Matthew chapter 4 by the enemy, when he says, turn this stone into bread. And he responds, very, very quickly, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Such a powerful passage. And whenever I share that passage, I always like to share Eugene Peterson's translation from The Message. It says, it takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady stream of words that flow from God's mouth. And he's going to sustain us, and he's going to speak to us. Anticipate God's genius. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." James 1:5 says, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." God will speak. It's been so I would say honestly, it's been such a wonderful time as a church, and I think going through the series this year on now concerning the spiritual, and as we're moving into spiritual gifts, we're still on it, by the way. And so after we do the fast part, we're going to go back into finishing the non-sign gifts. That's why this stuff is still up here, right? I know it's a new year, but I really like this, and so we're going to continue on. But I've really been enjoying, because I've been hearing so many incredible testimonies of God speaking to people and people sharing words of knowledge and prophesying over one another, especially in house churches. And I mean, it's just really amazing to see just really, really, and the whole church really coming together to really hear from the Lord in that way. And I think we can anticipate even a clearer, more sharper voice for us in this coming year as we continue to seek after him. And whatever's going on, whatever, and I know the guidance and this kind of comes together in this way, but I think it's so, so important to see how this works, that you should anticipate his genius, that he will speak to you. He will speak. That's his promise to his children. And it's so important that the people of God should listen to what the Lord says. The amazing thing, you know why prophecy and these things are so important? I mean, you've heard me share this before. But when it relates to us and our God, we don't have an image. You know what I mean? There's no, like, other religions have some kind of statue or some kind of picture or something. We don't have that in Christianity. We have this invisible God that we serve. And even all the churches are so different. There's not one main symbol, by which we gather together as followers. But God, this invisible God, but he does something that's unique to all other religions, he speaks to us. He speaks. We have the word, we have his written word where he speaks to us in his word, but he also speaks to us in our hearts. And obviously, he doesn't violate the scriptures, but he speaks to us beyond the scriptures. And I think there's something so powerful there, because that's the God that we have. So anticipate God's genius. He will speak to us. And so close your eyes. And this is particularly for so many of you here, and you feel like God doesn't speak to you. And in some ways, you feel like a second-class citizen in heaven, because you have such a difficult time hearing from the Lord. And when you do this in house church, and when we do it during service, and you kind of really wig out most of the times because you really believe you don't really hear from God. We're going to pray right now that God would open the ears of your heart. And so particularly, God, to my friends in this room right now that struggle with hearing from you. Now, Henry Blackaby, in Experiencing God, he says, if you have trouble hearing from God, you're having trouble at the center of your Christian experience. And so I pray for my friends right now that have trouble hearing from you. Lord, we pray for a breakthrough as we enter into this new decade. And just let the Holy Spirit just begin to move over you. Anticipate God's grace. He will save. Anticipate God's goodness. He will bless. Anticipate God's guidance. He will lead. Anticipate God's genius. He will speak. We don't need to read all the experts in the field of econ, culture, or politics to know what 2020 holds. All we need to do as a child of God is to open up our Bibles and open up the ears of our hearts and be available to the call of God on our lives. God will tell us and give us everything we need for this next year and for this next decade. Amen. I want to close your eyes. I invite the worship team to come. Look at that. I finished exactly. I was on a time limit from the staff, so I did it. And we're gonna pray today. And part of a New Year's blessing is we're going to pray, we're going to prophesy over every single one of you guys today that want it, okay? Well, anticipate the goodness of God. Anticipate God's voice. Anticipate, and I love this, the calf, anticipate God's hands covering you. And you know, the picture that I got before service was, you know, this idea of cupping, right? That really his hands just cupping your face. And I just saw the Lord just kind of grab your face with his hands and just draw you close to him. It's a time for intimacy. It's a time for familiarity. It's time to come into the presence of the Lord. And what better way to spend the last hour of 2019, the last hour of our last decade, than in the presence of the Lord, worshiping him, praying, seeking God's face together. Amen? You guys ready? All right, they're getting ready. I'll keep talking some more. There's refreshments after the service today. It's really beautiful. They really did such an amazing job. And so make sure you get some after you leave. Oh, yes. And if you look back, look at those beautiful stars in the back there. And it's our photo booth. And so you can take photos and we'll post them all online and just have a really wonderful time. You know, take it with your friends, take it with your house church, take it with your spouse, take it with maybe your future spouse. You know, no pressure. Now, no one's going to take, I shouldn't have said that. Just scratch that last thing I said. So, see, I'm not good at stalling time. You guys ready? All right, let's stand to our feet. I want to sing a song. I should have told them before service. I totally forgot. My bad. But they know the song, praise God. And you guys may know it's the song Come Away With Me. And I want them to sing it over you. And when I was driving to church today, I had a really strong sense that some of us are looking and we can't really enjoy moving into 2020 and all that stuff because there's some regret. And for what, I don't know exactly what, but there's some regret that's there. And before we get into prayer or anything else, I really want the Lord to minister to that first. And so, so worship team, Eunice, they're going to just sing this over us because this really is like Jesus talking to us anyway. And so I want you to just close your eyes and I just want you to receive from the Lord, particularly if you're one of those people that I felt today. Some of you guys are regret with work. You feel like, man, this last decade I made the wrong decision in relationships. Oh man, I should have went after that guy, but he's married now. Ah, you know, I mean, so many different things, and you know, even with kids. Oh man, I had this. You know, the kids are grown now, and I should have spent more time with them, or you know, all these regrets, and I feel like before we step into a new decade, that we just need to just put these down at the foot of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I just like the words it says, it's never too late, it's not too late, and just let the Lord really minister to you. And so if you're dealing with that, if you're honest, you're just really dealing with that, just let the Holy Spirit just minister to you through this song. And just start giving Him those regrets that you have. Because I feel like you're kind of stuck, you know, and we're going to unstick you so you can really step into this new decade. And so Eunice, go ahead. Can you just sing that over us? And just receive. Let me invite the staff to come to the front right now, and spouses of the staff as well. You can come, and any house church leaders as well that you want to do this. If you want to just receive, that's fine too. But if you want to come and you want to pray with people, I want to invite you to come up to the front as well. Practice your spiritual gifts. Come on down. House church leaders, come on down. Just spread out. And if you guys, and if you want to work as a couple, like the married couples, you want to work, that's fine. If not, that's fine too, right? But you guys just decide. And so let's do this first, okay? If what I just said kind of resonated with you, this whole idea of regrets in these things, and we want to take care of that first and foremost. And so I want to encourage you just to come, and if you feel like the Holy Spirit is really speaking to me, I want you to come and stand in front of one of our staff or one of our house church leaders, and especially if your house church leader is here, that's great. And I want you to come, they're just going to pray for you, and they're just going to just kind of seal that in the Lord, that you would just kind of close this chapter and open up a new chapter, and that it would be new pages, and that God would really write on these new pages. Remember, it's never too late. It's not too late. He has a plan for you. And so this is his first one, and then we'll pray for everyone, but this, the whole regret thing resonates with you. I want you to come. Go ahead, stand in front of one of our leaders. Okay. Eunice, you just keep leading us. Whatever you want to sing, that's fine. Just stand in front of one of our leaders, and they're all along here. Doesn't matter which one, they're all equally gifted. And I just cover you. This is a regret thing. So I want you guys come, you guys step up, lay hands, and let's pray, let's minister.